brighter. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 572. I am joined this afternoon by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Co-host extraordinaire. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby. We stream this puppy live at koop.org. Please do not go away.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Today on the show, we have a jam-packed show. We are joined by many of the venue operators here in Austin, Texas, for a round table of sorts. And then later on, we'll be talking to the folks from Spectrum Theater Company and Austin Shakespeare on a monologue event that is happening this evening. Stay with us. My God, Nicole, is that not beautiful?
I'm crying. It gets me.
That was part of the Pride Plays Spectacular that happened on the 28th, which I totally forgot to see. They did not stream the whole thing. They streamed the whole thing, but you can't see the whole thing, so you can only see pieces. And what we just heard singing I'll Cover You, which is such a beautiful song from Rent, yes, was the dulcet tones of Brandon Victor Dixon. Amazing. And MJ Rodriguez, trans performer extraordinaire. I mean, really beautiful.
That's one of my favorite songs in the entire show.
Well, the big news that happened, of course, we talked about this and we all knew it, but they officially made the announcement, the Broadway League made the announcement that Broadway is closed through the end of the year. So they don't plan to open at the earliest until January of 2021. And I think even then it's going to be tough. January 3rd, yes. So there was an article in the Wall Street Journal. The title of the and you may have read this, Broadway will remain dark until 2021. It has to reset before the curtain goes up. And what they're saying in this article is that once it opens, they're going to have to drastically reduce prices. They're going to have to do a lot to just get people to come in and get butts in seats, which I think is will be very good for the theater going public, but not good for Broadway itself. They also are going to be probably producing less expensive musicals or pieces that go on stage, straight plays, yep, versus musicals, which tend to be more expensive.
Here's what I have to say. Kong is lucky he appeared when he did, because I don't think Kong would have ever made it.
You know, it's been so long since we've talked about King Kong. Thank you for bringing that up.
Think about it, though. He wouldn't have survived 2020.
No, he wouldn't have. He didn't survive 2018, if you ask me.
Well, no, he made it to 2019. I was shocked.
Oh, did he make it? I don't remember the date. Did you see this thing from Deadline that came out talking about Our Town?
Oh, Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman. People are kind of pissed off about this announcement because this is not something that had plans to come onto Broadway. And so far, the only person attached to this, other than Scott Rudin, who's producing it,
yes,
and the director, Bartlett Scherr, is Dustin Hoffman. Three white people. And in this day and age, it seems like just a very interesting thing to do. And the announcement's interesting because they could have said, all right, Dustin Hoffman's going to lead this, but Emily is going to be played by MJ Rodriguez, but they didn't do any of that. So none of this is very smart from a Black Lives Matter standpoint. This is a Broadway so white thing.
I was like, Oh, okay. Old white men. This is a very bizarre announcement. I was like, okay.
You emailed me this great thing called a, well, the album, which was released last year, is called A Pitch at Broadway by Stephen Brault, who I have never heard of before. He is a pitcher with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Is that it?
That is correct.
Yeah. And he released an album last year with Broadway show tunes. Right. So these videos, tell people about these videos. There's two of them that were, and we're going to play the audio in full after we talk about them. And then there'll be a link to the videos on our page, offstageonair.com. Tell people about these videos.
Yes, Hadestown, the wonderful, amazing cast of Hadestown. There's another amazing original cast. We're talking about original casts that are so spectacular. And they got together and re-recorded a song with him. And then they got more baseball players together because theater will be back. Baseball will be back. We'll all be back. And they got Bernie Williams and some old Yankee players and other players. And they all sing the cast, Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
But Reeve Carney is in this. Well, the whole cast of Hadestown is in it. But Reeve Carney looks 12 years old. All right. Let's start by listening. Wait For Me from Hadestown. That includes Andre DeShields, the cast of Hadestown. As well as all these different football players. And what I love about this is it really highlights the orchestra as well. And all the orchestra gets lower thirds, which is really great. So let's listen to Wait For Me from Hadestown with baseball and football people.
How to get to Hadestown, brother. Haven't you heard? You're on the lockdown. Oh, in other words, stay the hell inside.
Laying low, staying out of sight. Ain't no ball game, brother.
Ain't no show. Just another homemade home video. Go ahead, unmute your microphone and sing your heart out, brother.
Wait for me, I'm coming. Wait, I'm coming with you. Wait for me, I'm coming too, I'm coming too.
You're on a break, you're on the bench. You'll get back in the game, but you can't say when. Gotta flatten the curve, and that takes time. Props to the docs on the front lines. Spring will come again just a little late while we wait for the fates to cooperate. In the meantime, brother, keep the faith.
Stay safe.
And call your mother.
Wait for me. I'm coming.
So love that. Really, really, really love that. And so let's just jump right into the next one, which is Take Me Out to the Ball Game. But there's two versions. There's Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and then it's followed by Take Me Out to the Broadway.
Yes.
And it's really, really wonderful and just incredible. Let's just listen to it.
Out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back, cause it's root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old
cup. Silence your fold when the curtain goes up, and
So I think it's great. They can't wait to have us back in the seats, and I can't wait to be in those seats.
No, it was a very exciting day when those came over, and I mean, I couldn't share them with you quick enough, and it made me a little warm and fuzzy and tingly inside.
Me too. All right, we're going to jump right into our first guest. These are many of the venue operators from in Austin, Texas, talking about just what each venue is up to and what we're all doing. So I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves. You ready? And I did this one solo without Nicole. It was very sad.
You didn't invite me.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be frank, the venue operators get together every Friday on Zoom, and I took 10 minutes to
still could have invited this. Me. You just didn't.
But I didn't. Mm-hmm. All right, here it is.
Hey, everybody. I have a big group here with me via Zoom. I've got Laura Haddock of Austin Playhouse. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
I have Bonnie Cullum and Melissa Vogt of The Vortex.
Hello.
I have Ken Webster of Hyde Park Theater.
Good afternoon.
And Katie Taylor of Salvage Vanguard. And Sean Sines, The Rude Mex.
Hello.
I also have Patty Neftiven of Ground Floor Theater.
Hi. Sorry.
I almost forgot Patty because her face isn't here. And Katie said hello, but we're on video. She waved, which doesn't really work on radio.
Oh, sorry. Hello.
So I just want to tell my listeners probably know by now that Ground Floor Theater has announced that we are not opening up for audiences until 2021. And we're lucky enough to have five of the local theaters here represented. I'm wondering what you guys would want to share with my listening audience about what you're up to.
Let's see. I think it's unlikely we're going to be doing any live theater before the end of the year as well. We haven't made an official announcement at Hyde Park Theater, but it's looking less and less likely. We are continuing to do online programming. On July 18th, Will Eno has given us permission to show our archival recording of The Realistic Joneses by Will Eno. Okay. And that'll be Saturday, July 18th at 8:00 on the Hyde Park Theater YouTube channel. So we're going to continue doing that kind of stuff.
Can folks get information on your website?
They will, yes. By the time they hear this, yes.
Remind people what your website address is.
HydeParkTheater.org. Theater spelled the fancy way, R-E at the end.
Fancy European way.
Yes.
And are you spending any time in your theater? Is anything happening in the venue itself?
I come by every day and check the mail and get some steps in and conduct business from here all by myself. It's still here. Still here. We're still getting donations from our lovely patrons, which is helping to keep us afloat.
Yeah, it's going to be necessary.
Oh, yes.
Forward. So what's going on with the Vortex?
We are still doing our weekly Vortex virtual programming, and I've got some exciting stuff up. Tonight, we're doing an international dance show with performances from Berlin, Paris, Austin, and New York. And of course, it'll be too late to catch it like live, but it will be archived. So people can go to thevortexrep.org and like then they can travel from there to our YouTube channel or whatever. We're going to be doing the full slate of La Fenice's web series, Stygian Crossings, next week. Okay. I'm going to be talking with Dylan Iruegas from all the way in Boston next week as well on Sunday. We've got Campfire Queer Storytime. We're working with a company called An Empty Room Project to do a show that's completely made for virtual theater. Teresa Cruz is leading up a project. The Mahogany Project is going to be doing some work. So online, our online life is like very vibrant and going.
Yeah, I see, you know, almost almost every time I turn on the Facebooks, I see that Vortex is live. Something's going on with the Vortex. You guys have been very, very prolific. I have to commend you, your energy in getting all that done.
We'll see how long we can keep it going. I really did not expect to still be doing this, but here we are. So just making the most of it.
Well, I love all the things you're doing. And what can you tell us about the show that you're doing that's made for virtual?
I really, you know, it's going to be devised. Okay. And since we're working with another company and they're the main artistic force in doing this, I can't really reveal a lot of details about it. But an up-and-coming director with her new company, just like straight out of Texas State, Sydney Kwan. I'm going to butcher your name, Sydney. I'm so sorry. Kwan's. It's with a Q. So, you know, we've been in talks about it, and I'm really excited about it. And I'm also really excited about our associate producing associate artistic director, Teresa Cruz. And the work that she's been doing in virtual has been really cool. So
that's great. And I know, Bonnie, that the Butterfly Bar was open temporarily. I'm assuming it's not open anymore.
Yes. However, we are pivoting to something that I never could have conceived of in my life in Texas, which will be curbside cocktails. Who knew? Oh. So starting next week, you'll be able to get your favorite and amazing Butterfly Bar cocktails to go.
I'm assuming that's legal?
It is legal now. The governor, since he took the bars away, decided he'd better do something so that everybody wouldn't go out of business. But if you had ever told me, I've been my whole life, like, I could never have imagined that we would be doing curbside cocktails. It's just... Yes. So yet another new business model, another reinvention.
Let me see if I can get this picture. I'm going to drive up to the Vortex. I will have either called ahead or I arranged to get my margarita. You come out and bring it to me in a plastic cup. I drive away and I'm immediately pulled over by a cop.
No, you're not allowed to have it in the front seat, Lisa. Oh. And your lid has to be secured, taped shut. Ah. So. We are actually going to serve in mason jars, so you'll have a reusable jar that your cocktail will come in, and it will go in a bag in your trunk so that you can't drink it on the way home.
Good but for what you. If I have a really long straw that reaches all the way to the back?
Yeah, well, there could be a lot of ways that you could break the law, but we are not going to help with that.
That's great. And so when does that start?
That starts next Friday, the 10th.
And is there a separate website for the Butterfly Bar, or is everything under vortexrep.org?
There is butterflybaraustin.com.
It's .com, butterflybaraustin.com. You can also access the Butterfly Bar website through the Vortex website if more on your mind.
The one caveat is that we have to give you a snack. So you'll have to have food that will be served with your curbside cocktail. And we're also going to do a drive-through fundraiser in October. We're going to do the Vortex Odyssey, and you'll be able to drive around and experience art from the safety of your car.
Well, you guys are always doing lots of stuff. So I bow down to you. Katie, what's going on with SVT?
We are recalibrating. I'm in this weekly venue meeting, even though we don't have a venue. We were on our way, and that is indefinitely paused. Oh. But still happening, just figuring out what that new trajectory is. We were approached by Taji Sr. to produce Amendment, a play that she did as a Works Progress Awesome with SVT years ago. So we're looking to do this via live stream or a drive-in setup as early as August, which feels a little early right now, but we're working to keep everybody safe and figure out all the logistics. We have a really amazing artistic team lined up that I can't quite talk about yet, but we've got more details to come. And you can find us at Salvage Vanguard Theater.org. We're mostly active on Instagram. I'm trying to be better about Facebook. It's hard to get me over there. But yeah, all of you guys are much better with that presence thing. I like to kind of creep around off the interwebs. I might be outside your window just saying, hello, SVT loves you.
What? No, you're doing the Insta thing. Us old folks are stuck on Facebook.
Well, and then there's the TikTok and the, you know, I'm geriatric in some other ways, so.
we're still doing MySpace.
And Sean, what about the Rude Mechs? What's going on with you guys?
Well, Thomas is in there remodeling. We're just kind of working on making the space is still pretty new to us, the crash box. And so we're just in there trying to figure out what we can do live. We are not so much doing the online stuff. So we're in the process right now of figuring out, we're probably going to not produce anything until 2021, January. Then we're trying to figure out we're just still cooking up ideas about what we're going to do. So I don't have anything particular to plug right now. Just all y'all stuff. Woo woo.
Are you doing anything exciting with the crash box space? I mean, it's a relatively small space. I'm trying to imagine what you guys are doing to it.
Well, Thomas is doing a lot of work making a cool booth and trying to make a box office in there. And he's in there with a saw so that he doesn't go nuts, I think.
Well, as soon as he's done there, tell him to hop on over to Ground Floor Theater. We have a couple of projects for him.
I will. He will. You better, yeah.
And finally, Laura, what's happening with Austin Playhouse?
Well, our season was originally scheduled to end last week on June 28th. So we did kind of a virtual send off to that. And usually Austin Playhouse doesn't produce in the summer. That's our kind of time off. We've closed out the season with our subscribers. Most of them are either donating the balance of their subscriptions or they've agreed to prorate for next season. But I needed to get that kind of settled before we could move forward. We will have some new virtual programming in the fall, but it's not set yet. Probably October. We've got a weekly podcast that's mainly some stories, and we're going to add some interviews with our acting company to that later on. But we'll be pretty much dark for the summer, and then I think in October you'll start seeing some new online offerings.
Where can folks find that podcast, and what's it called?
It's Play On with Austin Playhouse. Marie Falgren adjusted our logo. I think anything that makes me happy right now, I run with, and she put a little like telephone and earbuds on our little Austin Playhouse logo, and it's on our website. There are links to that, I think.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Yeah. Can you tell anybody, or is there any news or any movement on your new space?
We are, I'm hoping that we just hit the final hurdle and that our site plan will be approved any day now. Paperwork is at the city, and I'm just kind of expecting to hear that everything's been signed. So once that gets completed, then we can start moving some dirt around, which would be really exciting. And then people will be hearing a lot about that project once we hit that next phase.
I did that this morning, by the way, move some dirt around. And finally, Patty, why don't you tell folks what's going on at Ground Floor Theater?
Well, I think you mentioned it already. We've officially canceled and postponed for the rest of 2020. So we don't plan to be open to audiences until 2021. But then our 2021 season, we're going to shrink it down from 4 shows to 3. And we will be doing the world premiere of Rainfall Special on Me by Lane Michael Stanley early in the year, hopefully. And then premiere of Dinner by Lisa B. Thompson. And then the musical Memphis by a couple of folks. I can't remember their names, but it's a Tony Award winner.
David Bryan and Joe DiPietro. And then I think something exciting, similar to what you guys are doing, Bonnie and Melissa, we are going to do something in our parking lot. We don't know what it is. We're going to be putting together a team very soon, November, December, and it'll either be a walkthrough or a drive-through thing. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on Offstage and On the Air.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and a laughing Nicole.
Hello. Lisa's on fire today.
Made something funny this morning. So Cirque du Soleil is filing bankruptcy.
Well, I saw the writing on the wall with this one.
I didn't. How did you see the writing on the wall?
Well, I mean, I guess we were working with them before COVID.
Who is we?
Me with my Motley Crue.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when the COVID closed down and everything just stopped, and then they had to close down every single show and furlough 90% of the staff, I saw the writing. And then when you saw what was happening globally, that nothing was really opening back up, I was like, I don't know
how. Yeah, but that's a franchise that it's so strong. They still sell out. I'm surprised that they didn't have other producing agencies are not filing bankruptcy yet.
Well, they're also in a very different situation. You realize they sold a lot of the original people don't own it anymore. China bought the big part of it a few years ago.
The whole country of China?
The whole country. They all got together and put in.
I did not know that.
So they're not run by the same French group, even though they're same creatives, they're not run by the same group of people.
I did not know that. There's just so much. It is sad. There's so much I want to get to in very, very little time. So I wanted to take a moment to talk about this Barbara Ann Teer, who started the National Black Theater, wrote a letter in 1991 to the future. And it's really apropos now. And there happens to be a video that was sort of, it's a montage, which includes the letter. And I want to play it in its total for people to listen to. It is done by Ricardo Lamouri Robinson, AKA Lavender Freddy. Lavender Freddy. But it's L-A thingamajig vendor. Anyway, so this is a really wonderful thing to listen to. Let's give it a listen.
Letter to the future. It is with great love and respect that I write this letter to the future for all the people of color in the world. I must admit that I have a special affinity for people of African descent. I wonder if we ever transform the poor, lowly, downtrodden, pitiful, sad, oppressed, underprivileged, and culturally deprived discourse.
I really got very clear that I'm responsible for my own oppression, and I created it, and that I had the power to destroy it or to do whatever I want.
I wonder if we evolved into a higher human being. I wonder if you have been able to rise above and beyond distrust, fear, resentment, and resignation.
You know, people say in the church that, I don't know, I just feel it, or the, you know, God came down, I don't know. They don't know. They don't know the science of it. So I said, okay, I want to create the process that causes for an Aretha or for Malcolm X or for Martin Luther King, those preacher rhythms of James Cleveland.
My message to you today centers around the possibility that you have evolved into human beings with great dignity, respect, and love. I pray that you are the ones who bring grace, beauty, joy, and laughter into the world. Through your song, we have learned to celebrate the joy and oneness of humanity. Through your dance, we have learned the grace and light of God. I pray that you have built strong African-American institutions that give praise and honor to your ancestors. We made great sacrifices so that you could take your rightful place on the planet and become the cultural leaders who come from Africa to America, to the sun, back to the place we all originated from.
And you're gonna close your eyes, close your eyes, just close your eyes, and try and be still and quiet, still and quiet. Silence your thoughts, because we float now. Just groove with that inside of you, the real you, the universe inside of you. Just cool it, float. Essence of you. Now can you just listen to your heart? Listen to your heart. Come on now, listen to it. Pumping, pumping, pumping. New life in. Breathe in new life. Every time you get higher, breathe in new life. Yeah, listen.
Okay, so how apropos was that to today's society?
I can't believe she wrote a letter 29 years ago, and yeah.
I can't believe you did math that fast.
Well, I graduated high school in 90, and that's 30 years ago. So
okay. Graduate high school in 90. You're such a child. It kills me.
Well, I was supposed to have my 30th reunion this year, but guess what? Canceled.
Canceled. So let's just to make sure we have enough time for this. Let's just jump right into our interview with Marilyn Harden of Spectrum Theater Company and Mark Puhay and Ann Ciccolella of Austin Shakespeare, talking about a monologue workshop that's happening on Zoom tonight that the public is invited to watch. Here it is. Well, Nicole and I are here. We're so thrilled to have via Zoom representatives from Spectrum Theater Company as well as Austin Shakespeare, who are bringing their talents together to do a workshop with African American youth. And I have here with me the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare, Ann Ciccolella.
Howdy.
And I don't know your title, Marilyn, but I'm going to just say the artistic director of Spectrum Theater Company, Marilyn Harden.
I'm actually the board president.
That works too. And then we have Mark Puhay, who is a board member of Austin Shakespeare and is just an incredible actor around town. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have you guys on here. And I just learned about this project, and I want to hear more about it. So somebody tell me more about this project.
Well, I just wanted to say that Mark is one of our commentators. He's kind of like a judge, but he's just going to give feedback to the youngsters after they do their monologues. But Marilyn's really been putting all the legwork here. So Marilyn, why don't you tell Lisa the kinds of kids that you've gotten to be involved?
Oh, sure, of course. I have a variety of kids. Actually, they're eight. I had a 10-year-old, but she kind of panicked out at the last minute. But the ages now that I have acquired, their ages, most of them have graduated from high school or seniors this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm really excited because one of the students, she's a freshman at Paul Quinn College in Dallas, Texas. And she asked about one of the Shakespearean plays. And she said, well, can I modernize it and make it, you know, equivalent to everyday Black Lives Matters. And if she's not going to change the verbiage, but she wants to kind of incorporate that and make it a nowaday thing. So I haven't seen or heard it yet, but I'm really excited to see what she's going to come up with. But I did have a couple of the students that are going to do some Shakespeare, some scripts and acts and scenes from some of the Shakespeare plays. So I'm really excited about that.
Great. So this is a workshop that's going to happen, I'm assuming, via Zoom, where these young actors are going to be doing monologues, and then you're going to, and then Mark, I assume you're going to then coach them.
I anticipate some great work, and I'm looking forward to providing feedback. They're starting at an age that was earlier than I started. I didn't start acting until about 24, 25, so they've already got a leg up on me. But
I was just about to say, I think we've all been there, but now maybe you haven't. But I know for me, when I was 18, about 5 years ago, I was going through very similar things.
Yeah, yeah. But anytime you have an opportunity to mentor kids or vice versa, you know, as kids have an opportunity to get coaching, I think that's great.
It's a huge thing. So do you know what monologues they're doing ahead of time? I know, Marilyn, you mentioned one of them is doing Shakespeare. What are some of the other monologues that these young actors are doing?
Well, I know for mine, out of those seven, four of them are doing something from Shakespeare. The other two are going to be doing something that they made up. One guy lives in Dallas. He's a senior this year, Jarvis. He's going to do a script. I'll probably have to pull it up to find out because I'd never heard of it, but evidently something pretty familiar. But he won't be doing something from Shakespeare, but he is doing a monologue from a certain act. And I sent it to Anne. So as I was getting them, I was just shooting them through to her, so I couldn't forget anything. But I do know four of those students are doing, one's doing Hamlet. Can't recall the other three, but I know they are coming from Shakespeare in plays and scripts.
Well, I'll tell you.
Is there a length or a time that they had to stay within or a parameter when they were choosing these pieces or selections?
Yeah, it's 2 minutes.
Okay.
2 minutes.
So it's kind of like an audition length.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know.
And I'll tell you, it's, I know, taking myself back to that time, I Shakespeare wasn't something that I would just immediately gravitate to at that age. So I think it's interesting that these young students have chosen, the majority of them, Shakespeare pieces. Anne, what do you think about that, being the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare?
Well, you know, we're very excited to add people to our young Shakespeare group, which will hopefully be in person next year. It wasn't in person. This year, and that's part of our collaboration, is to usher these kids on maybe to come and do young Shakespeare in person. But I think because it was Spectrum Theater Company in collaboration with Austin Shakespeare, you know, we put Shakespeare into their minds. And we said they didn't have to do it, but they were welcome to do it. So listen, anybody speaking Shakespeare turns me on.
So this thing is happening tonight. How can folks see it? What is it? Is it available to the public? Do we watch it?
Absolutely. If they would email up until 6:30 p.m. tonight, just info@austinshakespeare.org, we'll send them the Zoom link. And we hope that some kids will come and maybe some families will come and watch it and think that they'll join us in the future.
Will the people that are watching it be able to participate in any way, or are they simply watching?
At the end, we'll open up to questions.
Awesome. Mark, have you worked with young theater professionals or young theater people before?
A few times. A few times with Austin Shakespeare directly, with Young Shakespeare. And also, I had a chance 2 years ago at Houston Tillotson. Spectrum had a project that was some monologue coaching myself and Eugene Lee and a few other people. It was a great experience, and it's great. And I do want to talk a little bit, just, I'm not going to take too much time, but.
Take as much time as you like, Mark. It's my show.
I think the key about approaching Shakespeare is, don't look at it like it's this holy, classic, untouchable language. The more that we can get people used to it and used to speaking the words and understanding the words, the more that, you know, people from underrepresented groups can enjoy it and participate. You know, I think that's something that made it possible for me to go as far as I have in my career. Don't look at it as something that's not for you or not touchable.
It's really Joe Papp that broke down those barriers, wasn't it? I mean,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Nicole. What were you going to say?
I just wanted, from my experience, because I have worked with you all in Young Shakespeare and everything, I see that the youth understands and has a grasp of the language in such an amazing way that when you're witnessing it as an adult, you're like, your mind gets blown, because it's shocking that you're like, wait a minute, what? How? And it makes you look at it a different way also, but it really impresses me every single time, from people that have a little bit of experience to the great experience. It's the magic of it is there. The magic of Shakespeare.
We love the magic of Shakespeare. I'll tell you what, and you can quote me on this. I think if he works at it, he may go somewhere with this guy. He may actually do something with his writing. Marilyn, tell us what's going on with Spectrum. What are plans with Spectrum? Anything happening that you want to talk about?
Oh yeah, we're doing a lot. We're actually doing a lot of reorganizing. You know, we lost my brother.
Yes,
almost 2 years.
Dr. Billy Harden.
Yes, Dr. Billy Harden, and so we're just trying our best to keep the movement going. I recently came on board back in November, so I'm still new at this game, but I'm learning a lot from the rest of the board members. We had a show scheduled for actually in 2 weeks, Killingsworth, but of course we had to cancel that. We actually postponed it, and we'll maybe be able to do it in October, but I don't know. We do have another show, Crowns, that we're scheduled to do in December. Second week in December is going to run for 2 weeks. So we're really, really excited about that. We're looking at some things to try to do online via Zoom. Got some things lined up with that, meeting with company members, and we want to try to get that going, maybe do some play scripts, play readings, play online, and also some singing and other talents that we want to highlight via Spectrum and in representation of Spectrum. So we're just really, really busy, really, really busy. We're restaffing, we're recruiting new company members, board members. So just trying to be visible.
Wonderful. I'll tell you what, when you guys open Crowns, I will be in the front row. That's just such a wonderful piece.
I love Crowns. This is just one of those, it's kind of like our trademark.
It's kind of required viewing in a lot of ways, I think.
Yes, 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 for sure. But yeah, so that's kind of where we are. We're just trying to keep up with what's going on nowadays.
Wonderful. And what's going on with Austin Shakespeare?
Well, I just want to insert, Crowns will be so great for the holiday season. And let's hope that we're back for the holiday season. If not, impossible.
Jazz crossed fingers.
Yeah,
works. I'm telling you, if you put Jazz Hand out there, it works. It's healing.
Well, Jackie and Judy Arnold.
Yes, that helped too.
Yeah, Judy. You know, we did a tribute to my brother in February. We had a sellout crowd both weekends. It was amazing.
Yeah,
and we featured Judy Arnold. I told Vice President Cassandra, I said, Cassandra, between Dr. Billy Harden and Judy Arnold Hunter, you're going to get a crowd, and especially in the Black community, because they're both so well known. They're known all over. But, you know, Judy is from Austin, so is my brother, and so am I. And so we know a lot of people around here. And I tell you, when they saw Judy Arnold would be singing Oh Mary, Don't You Weep, mm-hmm. the rest is history.
Yeah.
And she will be in Crowns as well. I'm not sure about Jackie, but Judy for sure.
She's phenomenal. Well, they're both wonderful.
I will just say I was in Crowns with those ladies four years ago.
Right. That's
yeah, I just stood on stage and watched. I felt like I was in the audience. I was like, I'll do what I can, but these guys were phenomenal. It was just
you were phenomenal. Well, I had a note on that to remember to bring that up. I'm glad you said that. Mark played the preacher.
Yeah, but
I saw that production.
Mark was enjoying their work.
Yeah, it's. I'm excited about that. So I'm hoping we'll at least be able to do that. If not, we have already put it over in Carrot and plan to carry it over for a next season show. So
great. Well, it's you know, with with what's going on right now, it's just such a question mark, and it's such a difficult decision to try to figure out how to make plans. And what are the, speaking of plans, what plans has Austin Shakespeare?
Well, we're still hoping to be in the park. We were trying to do a Midsummer Night's Dream in May. Well, we knew that wasn't going to happen. Right now, the city has postponed us to mid-September. That may or may not happen, but right. We're still crossing our fingers, and we may wind up on Zoom.
And what show?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Midsummer Night's Dream. I've heard of it.
Those fairies.
And Mark, how are you faring during this COVID crisis? And what do you have any plans that you want to talk about to the group? To the,
you know, anything I talk about will probably get canceled. So I'll be honest. I mean, I have some things on the books, but you know, I don't want to speak them.
Well, you know, Mark is making his name as Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, whether that will happen this Christmas or not, he was a huge hit. So much press, so many features, so many articles that I don't think anybody's going to fill his place.
And that is Zach's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I agree.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Once again, tonight at 7 o'clock is Spectrum Theater Company and Austin Shakespeare's monologue workshop for African-American youth. Tutelage by the incredible Mr. Mark Puhe. For more information, or if you'd like to get a link to see it tonight, you can email Anne. Anne, what email address for you?
info@austinshakespeare.org.
Or email Marilyn at, Marilyn, what was that email address?
spectrumatx@gmail.com.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Before you go, Lisa, you know, I always like to say thank you for Ground Floor Theater.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. I know that Ground Floor Theater is going to push on, and we're going to make it through this. And with every ounce of energy we have, we'll all make it through. So thanks for being on the show. So that happens tonight at 7 o'clock. And remember, if you want to be part of it, you want to see it, just go to those email addresses, which I've already forgotten, because that's where I'm. SpectrumTheaterATX@gmail.com, I believe, and info@austinshakespeare.org.
You remembered both. I'm giving you two thumbs up.
The big news of the week is Hamilton, which I have seen. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, so as folks here know, I've seen it two different times, once in Chicago, and once here in Austin.
I went with you.
And you went with me. And my complaint has been, this show is amazing, but the casting was really weak. And when it first came out, I said to myself, I don't really need to see the original cast because it's going to be around for a long time. And it's an amazing piece. Boy, was I wrong yet again. This cast, David Diggs. Oh, my God. David Diggs. It's really amazing. So as I watched it, I don't know whether I liked it so much because of the cast, which is what I think I did, but also even though I had good seats to both performances, you still don't see faces. And so this had some close-ups. Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. I didn't realize that was Philippa Sue's Broadway debut, but mm-hmm. It was a lot of their Broadway debuts. And even, you know, I'm not a big fan of Lin-Manuel as a performer, but he did a great job. There was times that he was chewing the scenery a little bit, especially on the sad, poignant parts. But compared to the two other Hamiltons I saw, he was so much better.
I love Mason Christopher.
Oh my God.
I love him.
He was amazing. He plays George Washington.
I love him.
Did a great job. So, he was in the original Memphis, which Ground Floor Theater will be doing next year. He was also in The Color Purple. He was
In the Heights,
which I can't wait for that movie to come out. I have to tell you.
I'm so excited about In the Heights.
So there's an article in the New York Times that talks about why we don't see everything streamed. And they just talk about the cost involved in streaming, the fear that many Broadway producers have that it's going to cannibalize ticket sales, although that has been proved wrong with Memphis, with Rent, with Chicago, and now I'm pretty sure with Hamilton. I think it'll just whet the appetite for people to go sit in a theater and see that live. But it's very expensive to do these, you know, 3 and 4 camera shoots.
Really?
And then the things that you don't think about is the negotiations that have to go on with all the different unions, with with everything. And they then the question came, well, how does the National Theater in England do it? How does Stratford Festival do it? And they have such great performances, and there's so many out there. Two things. First of all, I didn't know this. Part of their contract with the government that funds them is they have to do that.
I was about to say, it's part of their contract.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then second of all, it is probably 75% less expensive to do these things overseas than it is to do in the United States. Mm-hmm. So
they also have something very similar. The way that ACL Live Moody Theater and how they have the cameras to set up all the time and within the space to record ACL Live and those things, besides having regular concerts. These theaters are built like that with these cameras. They're kind of there. They can always just go in and set. It's not like if we were recording at ground floor and we'd have to move all the equipment and start from scratch. So that also makes things a little easier when it comes to broadcasting.
And speaking of that, when I look at the National Theater and Stratford, I need to figure out how their microphone, how they're amplifying these people, because they are not wearing microphones. And if they are, they are so well hidden, I cannot see them. So I want to find out how they do that. And speaking of microphones, back to Hamilton, when you watch it, I cannot figure out for the life of me where Philippa Sue's microphone is. It's not in the normal place. I've looked. I just keep searching for the microphone. And now you get a little insight into the mind of Lisa Sheps.
Is it in her bosom?
These are the things I look at.
Is it hidden in her bosom and you just can't see it?
It's possible, but most microphones on Broadway are on the head somewhere.
Yeah.
So the people that have hair, it's right at the top of the crown of the head. People without hair have a headset microphone that comes off the ear. So I don't know. Tell me where it is.
All right, I'll look.
Well, we're plumb out of time. I want to go away with, hopefully we'll have time to play the whole thing, but we might have to fade out at the end. If not, you can see it at offstageonair.com. I don't know if you saw this, but the international cast of Kinky Boots did one of these Zoom performances. And let's go out and listen to, we're just going to say it's Fill Me Up. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Once I was afraid, but then you came along. You put your faith in me and I was challenged to be strong.